Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Rules. Reality Rules. What's going on? It's Reality Rules. Tonight, coming to you live from Conroe, Texas, it's your host, Andrew Gibson, and producer, Mama. Coming to you after a one-week break as we filled up on turkey and shot the week drop. We're covering the last two tribal councils of tonight's episode of Survivor. There's so much going on in this game, we hope to get it all in an hour, but tune in with us, we go live to Reality Rules. What's going on? Good to be back after a few weeks. Great. I hope everybody
had a great time. Putting in 40 hours.
Day. Susan, it's good to have you here. How was your Thanksgiving?
The Thanksgiving food was good. I was more excited about the shopping as I am every year.
Black Friday, I'm glad you survived. There were some brawls.
Black Friday
is
a Jewish tradition, okay? Every year, me, my mom, and my sister-in-law. So it's family time.
You know, I wasn't a big Black Friday shopper until my wife. My wife loves it. She's a bargain shopper and everything. So, like, she's the Black Friday shopper of the family. So I've kind of, like, gone with it each year because she's such a Black Friday shopper, and it's to the extent that, like, it's her birthday. Usually it falls around that time also, so Black Friday becomes her birthday present because her dad's birthday is actually Black Friday this year, so it's just a big family birthday kind of thing that they do. But it was fun. We got some good deals, got a lot of stuff, so yeah, it was awesome. But we did miss Survivor last week. We didn't miss watching it, but we missed the recap because of all the holiday traditions, so we apologize for that, but we're glad you're here with us. And it has been a crazy couple of episodes in the world of Survivor, and we're going to jump into those to us tonight. A couple announcements and all kinds of things happening. Bear with me a little bit as I've been a little on the weather change, getting me down, sickness kind of stuff, but we're going to have fun as we always do. Let's jump into 2 weeks ago, or last week, the first hour, and kind of what happened in that situation. And we're going to kind of brief over these two because a lot of y'all have watched it and seen it. But it was really interesting. And what I want to talk about is the immunity challenge. You walk into this immunity challenge, and you got to remember these weather conditions were horrible. It was like rain and rain and rain and rain. And these people were freezing, soaking, wet. And they go into the immunity challenge, and Jeff hands them rocks, a black rock and a white rock. And he says, look, here's what can happen. If five of you choose to sit out of this competition, if five of you choose to show me a white rock, which is surrender, we have a construction crew waiting for you back at camp, and they are going to totally change and work on your shelter. They're going to give you cover over your fire so your fire won't go out. They're going to give you a water-resistant tarp to make sure when you're sleeping you don't get wet. They're going to totally make this shelter. But five of you have to give up your chance to play immunity and do that, surrender that for this to happen. Susan, what kind of an impact could this kind of shelter really have on this game?
Well, obviously, I mean, a big impact, you'd be more arrested, you'd be ensured that your fire is not going out at night. It could have been all kinds of things for them.
Right, but you have to think about it from this way. Yeah, you're helping yourself, but you're also helping your competitor. I mean, you're giving Joe this same shelter. You're giving all of these different things. So it's, yes, it might benefit me, but it's also benefiting everybody I'm competing against. So what situation do I compete against better? Do I compete against better?
But most of them knew that they were safe. I mean, you can kind of pretty much tell, you know, who the targets are. I mean, obviously Joe would have been dumb to been like, okay, sure. But people like Abby Marie and the fact that Fishback was still there and he had his, I mean, I think they could have arranged it where it would have worked out where five of them could have done it.
Okay, but let's go there. You say that, and Sierra shows the white rock. Sierra says, okay, I feel safe enough to do this, and then she walks out the door. So, I mean, do you ever really know? Was that Sierra saying, I mean, I'm trying to show a good faith? Was it a move to try to make herself more liked in the tribe?
I don't think she was one of the ones that should have been feeling safe.
And in my honest opinion, neither should have Wentworth or Abby, because they've been on the bottom. But you have everybody.
But I see people voting Abby. I mean, they see she's a waste. I mean, you always have that one player who you'll just let float through because you know. I mean, let's be realistic. If Abby makes it to the end, would anybody vote for her?
I don't think so. Maybe one or two. But we're going to get to that later as we get into tonight's episode of the fact of, okay, sure, that's true and everything. But what's his name? Spencer makes a great point when he says, okay, but if we continue to float Abby along, she's going to take a spot in this final three that should be one of ours. And we'll get into that as we get into the tribal. But everybody shows this rock. Except White Rock, except Joe and Keith. And Joe goes on and wins the immunity and does that. He, of course, he wins like the fourth in a row at that point, fifth in a row at that point.
Yeah.
And he's going to be safe. And then they get back to tribal and they hatch this big plan to get rid of Stephen Fishback. Fishback's going to go finally. They're going to make this work. And almost everybody seems to be on board except Jeremy. Tasha's kind of she doesn't know what she's going to do, but she's kind of leaning towards getting rid of Fishback. Spencer's come up with this genius move to get rid of Fishback, and Jeremy just doesn't feel good about it. Fishback's the one person Jeremy trusts. Fishback's the one person that Jeremy really feels that he can go further in this game with. And so Jeremy says, I don't know what I'm going to do. At this point, we know Jeremy has two idols in his pocket. And he goes to tribal council. The tribal load lays up. And again, I think they do a really good job. I don't think Fishback is aware at all that he's on the block. I don't think that Fishback has any idea that, heck, my name is getting thrown around or anything's going to happen. So it goes to the votes. He thinks that Abby's going home. I think that's who they thought. He thinks one of them's going – no. Oh, he thinks Sierra's going home. He thinks it's straight up Sierra. Everything happens. And then Jeff says if anybody wants to play an idol, now is the time to play it. Jeremy stands up and says I have an idol and I want to play it. And everybody's like, Jeremy, you're not even a target. You're not even a name. Why are you playing this idol here? And he says, I'm not playing it on me. I'm playing it on the person I trust. And I'm going to play it on Stephen Fishback. And Fishback's mouth hits the floor. He's like, you're wasting your idol. What's going on? Is there something I don't know about? He's really confused as to what's going on in these situations. And the votes are read. And sure enough, it would have been like a 2-vote for Fishback to go. But because of the idol played on Fishback, we send Sierra home, and Sierra is the next member of our jury. What do you think of this tribal council overall, Susan?
Each tribal, I'm telling you, the first 2 weeks were blah, wasn't really into it, but each tribal has just been so different. Like they keep saying, it just makes it a new game. I was a little shocked that Jeremy used his idol. I don't know. That should be our question. I mean, do you waste an idol? Because you never know. If somebody's going to go, they're going to go. You know, do you take that chance the 1 week and then just like what happened, he lost the next week. Is it a wasted idol? Should he have saved it? I mean, it's so many questions.
And let's go ahead and get to know. Let's go to the next tribal. So the next tribal comes up. We have a reward challenge. Fishback wins the reward. And he gets to pick two people to basically go to this dinner and situation with. As soon as Fishback wins, and as soon as Fishback is said, and as soon as Fishback wins and says he gets to bring somebody with him on this reward, my immediate reaction is, oh, he's going to take Jeremy. Jeremy just is the reason he's still here. But no, Fishback immediately gets vocal with it and says, I'm going to take Tasha as a damage control situation here. I'm going to take Tasha. And you see it in Jeremy's face. When he's just like, oh my gosh, why? How did he not just take me? How did he not just do that? Eventually, he gets the opportunity to take somebody else, and he does take Jeremy. He kind of saves himself there. Kelly Wentworth finds an idol clue in this challenge, and she does uncover another hidden immunity idol. I think it's funny that of the 4 hidden immunity idols that have been played in this season of Second Chances, 2 people have found both of them. So that's entertaining, and I think it's going to be fun to watch that kind of come out. As you see these second idols be played or not played, that people are going to be like, wow, how did that happen? How did we get there? But Fishback takes Tasha and Jeremy, and they basically forge a final three at this point. And say, we're going to go to the end together, 100% strong. I know you voted for me, Tasha, but let's put that to the side. And that's what they do. They form a final three. We go to the immunity challenge. Spencer wins immunity, dethroning Joe in his perfect order. Spencer wins it. And as he wins it, they go to tribal. And the plan at this point that people don't know about is to basically get rid of Fishback. Nobody knows about this except they don't include Jeremy. They don't include Tasha. It's Abby and Spencer and Kelly and Kimmy. No, Kimmy doesn't know. I'm sorry. It's to basically blindside Fishback and send Fishback packing. And I don't understand why, but Fishback, Tasha, Jeremy, who now has two idols, and Keith decide to split the vote. Half of them vote Joe, half of them vote Abby, and they're protecting themselves in case Joe, by some chance, has a hidden immunity idol. They decide to split the votes here. And then we go to tribal, and Steven uses his power. And I don't get this at all. Steven uses his power, and he steals Joe's vote, and he doesn't use it as a power block. He splits Joe's vote away from his vote. Joe votes Joe, and he votes Abby. And with that, the votes come out, and that's the reason Stephen Fishback gets voted out. I just don't get it. Fishback is this Survivor know-it-all. He is one of the biggest Survivor bloggers. He writes for People Magazine. He's in Rob Has a Podcast, Survivor Know-It-Alls. He is supposed to be this mastermind of Survivor information, and I don't understand what he was thinking. He wasted the power. He wasted everything he had. He ends up wasting Jeremy's first idol because Fishback gets blindsided and sent out. I've watched the episode twice, Susan, and I just don't get it.
Nowhere strategically does it make sense. I mean, I understand the splitting of the vote, but I don't know why they did it not knowing for sure. If he had not taken Joe's vote and voted for Joe himself, thinking it was a funny move, I mean, he did that to be like, haha, I voted you with your own vote. He would have still been there. And his whole, oh, this is the first time in Survivor history, this and this. I think he got a little carried away in his head thinking he could do something big, and it just flopped.
And, like, I get the premise of splitting the vote and what it could mean on the game and what it could mean on the situation. I don't understand having that power and splitting your specific vote. Like, you, if you use that power, the whole purpose of that power is to create a 3-2 voting block switch. Like, that whole purpose is to create a swing. And he doesn't. He takes the power and basically nullify it by voting separate from his vote. So I don't understand. And to me, it was a very stupid move. To me, it was more stupid of, like, not playing the power and going home, because you showed your power and then you got outmoved by your power. Like, I'd rather go home with my pocket, with it in my pocket, than totally misplay it. And that's exactly what Fishback does. And that sets up for tonight's episode of What's Happened. And we will get into that in all of its glory right after this commercial and then a quick announcement. Survivor Real Foot is now casting for Season 3. This is a Survivor-style game held in Northwest Tennessee over a 7-day period. Survivor Real Foot provides the closest Survivor experience that you will find. From the outdoor location, limited food rations, to original challenges, confessionals, and custom-made bumps. This season will be filmed and edited like the real show for a YouTube release. Filming dates for Season 3 are June 5th through the 11th. You can find your application on our website, survivorrealfoot.weebly.com. We encourage all types of applicants, including those with limited outdoor experience and even Survivor knowledge. You can find our fan page on Facebook at Survivor Real Foot and watch past episodes on our website or our YouTube channel. Be sure to catch the premiere of the first half of Season 2 coming in January. Survivor Real Foot. You can find them on survivorrealfoot.weebly.com
or look up Amos Ray Smith on Facebook. Survivor Real Foot Casting Season 3 now.
That is Survivor Real Foot. As it said, the episodes will be starting here within the next month. And what I'm excited to announce, as we've announced before, we talked to Amos, actually talked to him a little bit earlier yesterday, and we on Reality Rules are going to be recapping those episodes also of Survivor Real Foot. We'll be talking about them here, and he's going to be talking to the cast, and each week we will be bringing on the evicted, voted out castaway onto our show and interviewing them. And kind
yes,
of taking
I'm
Survivor
excited
Real
about
Foot.
That.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. We're going to get to talk each week with all the different people and really bring that into our Reality Rules here. So pretty exciting. Lots of good stuff happening in that direction. Let's get into tonight's episode. And Kimmy says, you know, I love Kimmy. Don't get me wrong. I love Kimmy. She's actually here from the Woodlands section. She lives probably about 45 minutes from my house. I don't know if you knew that, Susan. But she lives in this area. I'm a huge fan of Kimmy, but she's gotten very little airtime. Kimmy has not been very pivotal in this season so far. She's kind of been a vote. She's kind of been a number. And in all honesty, she's just kind of gotten lucky because she's been on the right tribes. And that's kind of why she's in the position she is. And she says, you know, I came here to play. I've got to make a move. And Kimmy starts to try to make this all-girls alliance. She tries to form this all-girls situation. And it's interesting to me because she kind of steps up to play. But to me, why would you present this offer to Tasha? It's obvious that Tasha wants nothing to do with Wentworth. Tasha wants nothing to do with Abby. She's kind of got her thing with Jeremy going. And so you haven't been paying attention enough to see that Tasha's not going to be a part of this. But they pitch it to her. Tasha's like, yeah, sure. Why not? Because that puts Tasha in a great situation. Tasha's stuck in the middle, basically between two alliances. And that's kind of all we see of that at the time being. It's presented to Tasha. Everybody's on board. Hey, let's get out Joe if he loses. And then let's take a all-girls alliance to the Final Four. And then we come to the most coveted, awesome, favorite part of most seasons, the family challenge, where you get a loved one to come in. And we saw some really, really cool moments in this episode of the family, specifically because two of the family members are old Survivor alums, with Wentworth's dad and with Val, of course. So Val comes out. She tells Jeremy he's having a boy. He gets to see his pregnant wife that he has devoted this game to. I think we've heard Val's name more than we've heard Jeremy's. And we see that moment. It was really cool to see. It was good to see Val again. I love Val. She's a true fan of the game. She loves the game of Survivor. And to see her have that opportunity when she's pregnant with their son, telling Jeremy on Survivor that it's a boy, I just thought that was a cool moment. I enjoyed that. And then you see Spencer's girlfriend come out. And Susan messaged me the minute Spencer's girlfriend comes out. And I agreed with her completely. I mean, Spencer's girlfriend's good looking. And I never would have thought that. I mean, she's good looking. And
neither. Go judging people.
Absolutely. I mean, Spencer, she comes out and she says that she loves him and that she misses him. And for the first time ever, Spencer tells his girlfriend on national television that he loves her. And it was a sweet moment. It was kind of, to me, it was a little too mushy in that situation. It's a girlfriend, first love scenario, whatever. But the biggest surprise for me was Spencer actually landed himself a decent catch. So she must have the duct tape out over his mouth when they're at home or something, because he got himself over there. But you've also heard of the crazy hot factor. I'm sure the better looking they are, the crazier they are. So Spencer's girlfriend might have a little bit of crazy in her. But then we go into Jaden's messaging me about something. I'll check that. And then the next person that comes out is Abby Maria's mom. Oh, yeah. Jaden, I haven't got there yet. I am going to get there, I promise. Abby's mom comes out, and for the first time in the history of Survivor, somebody called Abby an angel.
Yes. Well, that's
mom
her baby.
called her an angel, and I was just like, man, do you watch these episodes? And then Keith's wife comes out. Here's the funniest thing for me, and we're going to get into the awkwardness here in a little bit, but Keith calls his wife Big D. Is that a compliment? I mean, you're calling your wife big. My wife's sitting next to me, and she's like, "If you ever call me Big K, I will hurt you." I mean, and I'm sure.
You know what? It could just be. I mean, you're married for so many years. Like, Frank will call me things. I mean, he will say things. I could say, "Hey, do I look okay in this outfit?" And he will moo at me. I think it's just a thing when you're together so long. It's you don't want to be like, "Ooh, we love each other, ooh, Pook." You just think of something funny, and it works that way. I thought it was awesome that that's what he calls her, and that she's okay with it. That shows really good in the marriage.
Trust me, give it
another 10 more years with Courtney and you, and you guys will have your own little.
But the funny thing is,
hey, fat ass.
Jeff even called her Big D. He said, "Keith, here's Big D, your wife." So, I mean, and obviously that was done in the last season, but the Big D was brought up, it was gone, and there we go. And then Wentworth comes in, and her dad, of course, who had played before, it was good to see him again in this second chance situation. And then you have Joe's dad come out, and you have this really touching moment. And Jaden messaged me and commented, "Who else?" And we can start a poll. Was watching Joe's dad kiss him on the mouth awkward? What did you think about that situation?
You know, I have brothers and stuff, and I thought it was a little awkward myself. Like, I tried to think in my head as grown adults under any situation, and I'm trying to see, like, the emotion, and it's always been a forehead kiss, a hug, but I don't know, maybe I think it was awkward personally, but
it was
know?
For me too. But who are we to judge? That's their family, that's their situation. It was an awkward for me. I don't kiss my father on the mouth, but I mean, to each their own. And so Wentworth wins this immunity, this reward challenge. I was kind of upset. I like to see when the family competes in this challenge. I like to see the family members compete in that spot. So that kind of was like, aw. But Wentworth wins. She gets to take a barbecue dinner, and she gets to make some picks. And this is what I really want to talk about, because her picks were interesting to me. The first person she picks is Keith. Okay. I don't get the point of picking Keith. The second person she picks is Abby. I understand the Abby pick because they've been aligned. They've been on the bottom together. She wants to solidify that alliance. And we always know if you piss off Abby, you go crazy. And so Abby could be like, "Oh, you didn't pick me, so you don't trust me." And we all know how Abby can be at that point. So I get the Abby pick. She picks Kimmy. I kind of get the Kimmy pick because she's trying to solidify this all-girls alliance. But I don't get the Kimmy pick if you don't pick Tasha also. And so now you've left Tasha back at a camp with Jeremy and Spencer. So I don't get the Kimmy pick if you don't take Tasha. And then she takes Joe. And I don't understand that pick either. I really, when this came out and when this happened, we'll go back to that. I'll get to that, Jaden. When this happened, I expected Jeremy to be an instant pick. I mean, Val, the pregnancy, all of that going on, I just really expected them to pick Jeremy. He doesn't get picked, but not only that, she sends him back to camp with two of the people that he has the best chance of making a final three alliance with, and that's exactly what happened. Jaden said, point out the fact that his dad's words were, "It's like mouth kissing your best friend." So that's the Joe comment that he wanted to make on that. It's like mouth kissing your best friend. To me, also in the past, Susan, in the past, family reward is kind of a bigger deal than it was. You didn't really see a whole lot of the family talk besides Joe and his dad. To me, they kind of glossed over it a lot this season. I felt like the reward was done, and here we were going to this immunity challenge. I felt that they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on that. Maybe it just wasn't eventful. Maybe a lot didn't happen. But to me, it was kind of boring to watch this year. What were your thoughts on the family visits?
Oh, you know what? I'll be honest. I don't get the family visit. I mean, I guess it's a nice reward, but they do it at the 30-day mark. Well, the Big Brother contestants are in the house for way longer than that. Amazing Race is a little bit longer than that, and they don't get the joy of a family visit.
Yeah, I mean, I get that too, but to me, again, it's just the fact that survivor elements are a little harder. And so I think that's kind of why it's brought out there. It's, and you also have to remember, Survivor was the first reality television show, and they've been doing at least not family visits, family letters from home since season one. I'll never forget season one when Jenna Lewis didn't get her letter, and it wasn't sent, or her video, it was videos, and it wasn't sent to her of her and her two kids. So it's a tradition that's carried on. Why Big Brother and The Amazing Race didn't catch up to it, I don't know. But, I mean, this is something that Survivor has done since season one.
Yeah,
it's
like
been
I
a big
said, I mean,
deal
I don't mean to be, like, the heartless person. I just, I don't, I'm not into the whole family episode.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun to watch. I especially liked it this year because you did see, like, Val and those that have played the game before, more Survivor alums coming in.
Oh, I thought Abby Marie's mom was hilarious. You've got people screaming, I love you, and go, go, go. And she's like, focus, don't pay attention to them.
Yeah, and you saw kind of where Abby gets it from, because her mom was just as feisty as she can be. And then we go into this immunity challenge, the dreaded idol on a stick, raise it higher, raise it higher, raise it higher, raise it higher. And Jeff has a twist right out the gate. It's going to be two immunity necklace holders, one guy, one girl. Interesting, very interesting. I it surprises me that they're doing that so late in the game because there's less people that can compete, so less people to vote. So the fact they're getting two immunity necklaces kind of surprised me, but cool. Kelly Wentworth wins the first one, and then you have the epic endurance battle that you've had all year long. It comes down to Keith and Joe. And, I mean, this was a battle. Those idols were waving back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then all of a sudden you see Joe just pass out. His body can't take it anymore. The medics come in, and they basically just say that the oxygen stopped going to his brain, and they just basically blacked out on him. Sam says, winner of Survivor, fans versus favorite, Cochran. And then Cochran goes to hug Dawn and kiss her on the cheek, but they accidentally kiss on the lips. A little less awkward. You have a guy-girl situation and a non-family situation, so I don't think that's as awkward of a situation as you have going on here. But thanks for the comment, Sam. So you have the situation, and Joe just loses it. He passes out completely, and he goes down. At first, I don't even think Jeff realizes that he's passed out. He's like, Keith wins. And then he starts looking, going towards him. And then he calls in the medic. We have to realize these people have been out there for days on days on days. They've lost so much weight. They're in so much heat. He just ate food. So his blood sugar is up and down. The rewards aren't always as rewarding as you, because when you don't eat for so long and then you eat so much good food and then you go back to not eating, it hurts your body sometimes more than it helps it. It's a temporary relief, but an infinite hurt. And he passes out. An hour and a half. And the medic basically says his body just couldn't take any more. How far are you really willing to go? And Susan, this is funny that we bring this up, because you were in an endurance competition on Saturday night.
Yes,
that lasted 4 hours. Am I correct?
A little bit over 4 hours.
A little bit over 4 hours. And what exactly did you have to do in that competition?
We had to put a can of anything with either our butt or our hip and hold it against the wall without it falling. We couldn't touch the can and we couldn't touch the wall, which actually sounds pretty easy. It's not. I mean, if you watch the video, you can hear me screaming at my husband, telling him to try doing it because he couldn't understand why I was in pain.
And I watched the last about hour and a half of it. How hard is it in that endurance situation to push the pain out of your mind? Because you're bored, too. You can't go anywhere.
I mean, you, Billy Lawrence, I mean, I had a lot of you guys messaging me, so that kept me in good spirits. I mean, at one point, you, yourself, Billy, a lot of people were like, just give it up. It's fine. You look like you're in pain. And I was just like, no, I didn't waste 3 hours for nothing.
Right. But I mean, Joe and Keith, they don't have the luxury of holding a cell phone and messaging people. So the boredom sets in on this, too.
Yeah.
And,
it was way boring just standing there.
And his body takes it, and Joe falls. He gets back to camp, and he tries, and he tries, and he tries, and he tries, but Joe is unable to do it, and he gets voted out of the game. He is the newest member of our jury. Things I want to talk about really briefly. First, Keith. Keith votes Tasha. Is Keith voting Tasha to not make members of the jury mad? Is Keith voting Tasha because he really just has no idea what's going on in this game? Where is Keith? Keith's like, I don't know. Keith is reminding me of Chicken George.
Yeah, you know, I could agree with that, yeah.
I mean, he's not even in the vote. He's not voting in the majority. He's not voting in the minority. He's just voting. And that one kinky vote for Tasha, I didn't get it. Again, I think it's just because Keith doesn't know what's going on. And so will that help him? Will that hurt him? To me, Keith is just as floating in this game as Abby is, even more so than Abby, because Abby's at least picked some sides. Abby's getting vocal. Keith's just floating along. And Spencer specifically says, the more we let these people float along that we know we can beat in the end, I think if Keith makes the finals, I don't think he wins. I don't think he gets a vote. And so when you keep riding these people like Keith and Abby, eventually you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. I've done it before. Andrew Clemenshaw's last game, I let Corey McDonald and Maddie Means float to the Final Four with me. And because I did, Daniel said it's easier to beat them. He takes them, and I'm sitting in the jury. There's only three seats in the end. And when you let these people float that are instant win against, it's going to end up hurting you in the long run. So as much as it feels like a wasted vote, eventually they have to make this move. Eventually they have to vote against Abby, and eventually they have to vote against Keith, or they're going to be sitting in the final two with Kelly Wentworth probably. And they're going to win, and they're going to lose, and they're going to be upset that that happened. The Joe versus Abby
right.
being $1 million decision, I don't think they made the wrong mistake. I think you should have gotten out Joe. Joe can win, and he can go on a run, and he can do that. So I think that was the good move. But in the next week or two, if Abby or Keith don't walk out of that tribal council, they're going to be in the finals. And then people are going to be shoulda, coulda, woulda-ing it here in a couple of weeks. I'm going to do some power rankings real quick on who I think is in the best position to the worst position. In first, I'm still liking Jeremy's spot in this game. I'm going to give Jeremy the first spot. He's got an idol in his pocket still. He's got Tasha and Spencer that are pretty unwavering, and I think he has Keith too. I think he has the majority vote, and I think he can kind of get done what he wants at this point. So Jeremy's going to be my number one in the power ranking. Number two, I'm going to give it to Kelly Wentworth. I think that she's playing an incredible game. She also has the idol in her pocket. Now she has Kimmy kind of floating to her side. She's got Abby in her back pocket. And Kelly can kind of write her own game right now. Third, I'm going to go Tasha, because I just think she's played a stellar game so far. And I think that she's more Jeremy's number two than Spencer is. Fourth, I'm going to go Spencer. He's played a great game. He's had a lot of redemption in this game, as I've said a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry, I'm reading something from Jaden. I still think Steven's stick from episode one should be pretty high in the rankings. I mean, has anyone else even talking on it? Tasha number Spencer four. I'm going to go Kimmy five, and then I'm going to go Keith six and Abby seven. And that's kind of my power rankings on how I think people are playing in this game. Let us know on our page how you think it's going on. We're just here in the end here, final seven. They only have 9 days left. Do you know, have we seen the schedule? When is the finale? Do we know that yet?
You know what? I do not know that.
I mean, we've got to be close. It's got to be here within the next 2 weeks. I'm kind of thinking we're going to have next week's episode, and we're going to go to five, and then the next week we'll go to four. I'm thinking 2.5 weeks. I'm guessing it's a Sunday finale again.
Yeah,
guessing
they usually
two episodes.
Are.
Okay. So there's two episodes left, Jaden's telling me. So is the finale next Sunday, Jaden? Or is it on a Wednesday? I'm waiting for his response here. Two episodes left. So the finale
is
either going to
be such a great secretary for us.
No, he does. He's typing. He's probably looking it up first. That's why the delayed response. So he knows he's telling me the correct answer. Not sure came from a Rob Has a Podcast source. Okay, so he's going to look into it. We'll get it on the page when the finale is. Even if it's on a Sunday, we'll do a recap after the finale for sure. So we got two episodes left. Not sure exactly how it's going to fall. As we get that, we'll get into it. But that's going to be it for tonight's episode of Reality Rules. Cool things coming up because as Survivor ends, we're not going to let our show end. We're going to continue to do a recap episode at least once a week, and we'll get into a little more orgs stuff, and we'll do a org recap of the week coming up once Survivor ends, and then that'll kind of tie us into the next season of Survivor, which will be coming up in January. So stay tuned for more information about that. Hopefully when we get into January, we can get some more mini-minis going and a lot of other things happening here. Let us know on our page what you think and what you're thinking moving forward, who you think is going to be the winner. Can we get a poll up maybe tonight, Susan, about who they think is going to win it all at this point in the game?
I sure can.
Cool. So we'll get that poll up. We thank you for tuning in. As always, stay real, stay reality, and try not to get voted out. See you next week.